Welcome, everyone, to the fierce compassion of the divine feminine, entering the era of the Empress, where individuals across the globe are discovering how to embody the Empress by living a life of compassion, character, courage, and grace. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute. And we're here today. It's my great honor and privilege to be here today with Alethea Sophia. Welcome, sweetheart. So glad you're here.
So amazing to be with you, Kathy, again.
So I can't wait to dive into all of Alethea's background. She is a writer, a mythologist, a minister, and a whisperer of sacred wisdom. Her highly acclaimed books, courses, transmissions, and workshops are focused on the development of the mythical imagination and on the relevance of myths, fairy tales, and folk traditions to personal, cultural, and environmental problems that we face today. She has an intense relationship with the land, especially the French Pyrenees, Egypt, and Ireland. All of her work, writing, transmitting, storytelling, and teaching springs from an irresistible intimacy with the land, which is rooted in as much as the myths and the stories of the place as it is with the detailed knowledge of the physical and historical environment. She's currently working on Mary Magdalene's audio guide to the south of France, an evocative and expressive partnering with the mythic imagination and the land itself. Alethea has led workshops throughout Europe and North America, and now you will find her at home with her husband and mother in the mountains where they have taken on an almighty project, which I have been following, by the way. The restoration of an old Catholic summer house for children into the White Rose Mystery School, complete with a chapel, bed and breakfast, vegan cafe, and apothecary of body rituals and animal sanctuary. They produce a large proportion of their own food, keeping goats, sheep, pigs, and poultry in a large and thriving permaculture garden food forest. That long, hard work, which requires her to be outside in all weathers, tending to other living things, as well as continuing daily needs for long walks to explore old forgotten cathar paths, caves, and mountains, has blessed her with a deep and nourishing sense of connectedness to the spirit of place that she feels drawn to share with others. Okay, and I lost my place. There's so much, because there's so much to tell. There's so many changes that have happened. I'm going to skip on down here. Over time, she's developed an oral message that stirs the remembrance of a continuous lineage with the feminine principle that throughout the centuries has preserved its spiritual dignity without the need for permission or recognition from any other source. She is here to deepen your spiritual journey and to offer you a safe place while doing so. Alethea lives in the Cathar region of southern France with her beloved husband, Pete Wilson. Together, they run Le Conte, a B&B at the base of Montségur, where individuals, families, and large groups can come and stay. And oh my goodness, we could talk all day about the changes that have happened to you. But your topic, which is amazing, is the Caliche's Veil, unveiling the wisdom of the dark months. So, my friend, tell us just a little bit before we dive into your topic about where you are and what happened and why you changed your name.
Well, the first thing I'd love to say, Kathy, whilst you were reading all of that out, is I was like giggling to myself on the inside going, oh, I've so obviously gone through menopause. I just want to put that out to the ladies that are on the threshold or in the middle and struggling. These massive changes can be yours.
Right.
If you just let it happen.
Yeah.
The name change from Anaya to Alethea is also part of this washing machine I've been going through. And Alethea is the old Greek word for a very loving truth. So truth, very direct, but in the velvety presence of love.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I hear it, it's like, how you doing?
Yep.
Yeah. And again, in the menopause would have been the loss of dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was very close. I am very close to my father. So it's everything, you know, and we're going to talk about the Kaliak today. Mm-hmm. And this is her work.
Mm-hmm.
The thorough emptying of your youthful years, your motherhood, your family life, your everything, a thorough emptying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think I'm fully complete yet, but I would certainly say the majority of me has been transformed.
for sure.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful transformation. I've been watching from afar through Facebook and the videos about what's it called? We bought.
Help. We brought a village.
Yeah, you bought a village and she did. So define for us the Kaliak. I believe I'm saying that right. What is that?
Well, the Kaliak.
Kaliak. Okay.
The Kaliak is part of Irish mythology, but truthfully, it's even older than Celtic mythology.
Wow.
By the time the Celts came to Ireland, they were already aware of the Kaliak.
Wow.
It is a very ancient, primordial, let's just say goddess of winter or goddess of death and renewal. She's very, very aged.
Mm-hmm.
She is slightly bald and has long, raggedy hair. Mm-hmm. She's got one bright blue eye that sees everything on the outside. Mm-hmm. And she has a white, blinded eye that sees everything on the inside.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. She is hunchbacked and bow-legged. But her agility and vitality is like that of a child.
Wow.
So you're like, oh, what is this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want to bring her across in such a way that we don't think, oh, she is a goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is, but she's also a force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just take that female appearance away.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's meet the actual force
mm-hmm.
behind that.
Wow. So
yeah.
What does she do? What is she about?
Well, I was in Ireland a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The experience I had with her was a radical and honest truth-telling.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the approach of reaching her was terrifying. I was in my little hire car. I was on the Berra Peninsula, so I was in a really remote finger of Ireland that stretches out into the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was your classic Irish weather. Mm-hmm. It was winding. It was howling. There was an amber warning, you know, don't be on the roads unless it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for a standing stone in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, I would have said 9.5 out of 10 people would have turned back.
Right.
Because it was so existentially scary.
Yeah.
But I had to. I had to because I went to Ireland to connect with my ancestors because my father's Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking I would be connecting with grandfather and great-grandfather and great-grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Humans. But it wasn't that. It was the mythology. It was the fairies. It was the Kaliak.
Wow.
So it's those invisible ones that are everyday language to the Irish people.
Wow.
You know, these deities are like, yeah, of course. You know, from school teachers to bankers to people in the post office, everyone believes in these deities.
Right.
When I say she is the goddess of winter, her presence, I feel, is getting quite apparent now with this idea of energy crisis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, in Europe at the moment, all the cities are becoming dark at 10 o'clock.
Whoa.
And wow. For a lot of folk, this is like,
Yeah.
And it is. But in the mythic imagination, and that's what I mean, it's so important to have the mythic imagination because it's a refuge. Because if we don't have anywhere to go whilst all this starts happening, we're going to get pretty undone pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So when the lights go off at 10, I'm like, here she comes. It's that uneasy feeling. Why have the lights gone out?
Yeah.
Why is scarcity coming? You know, we're being backed into a corner. We're being backed into a corner, I believe, to sincerely be renewed.
Yeah. So she sounds like a healer. She sounds like she makes us go in and get into the dark place to create renewal.
And yes.
So, and it feels like maybe that's happening for the whole planet.
Yes, it does. It definitely feels like it, you know, Kaliak is having her way with us all. Mm-hmm. It's dragging us into that winter of renewal. One of the things about Kaliak is if you turn to her for healing or insight or prophecy or oracle, she will require an action afterwards to balance your relationship with nature and the spirit world. And if you don't do it, that's why I had to get there. If I said, right, okay, Kaliak, I'm going to come and see you today, despite the storm and the weather warning, and I go, nah, not really, I'm afraid. I know not to do that.
Right. So what was it like when you arrived?
Oh my gosh, I was terrified. I was afraid. I was holding on to my hat, thinking it was going to get blown off and into the Atlantic. The Atlantic Ocean in Ireland is wild. It's insane. Any wave could catch you. And where I was, it's called the Bearer Hag, and it's a standing stone. And she's right on the edge, looking for her beloved to come in from sea.
Wow.
So there's wind, there's clouds, there's waves, there's mist. So, you know, by the time I reached her, I was actually rather authentic. Very, very humble.
Right.
And also I went to her in grief because of Dad. And so I literally grabbed onto this standing stone and was not going to let go in case I got dragged out into sea and just went, here I am. I'm too afraid. I'll always remember this. I said, I'm too afraid to formulate a sentence. I think it's going to be muddled and confused. But if you feel my heart, you will know who I am and why I've come. And I just went,
bless your heart. Only you, sweetheart. And it almost, to me, epitomizes the metamorphosis you've been through. It's like you had to do that to walk where you've walked, to take on what you've taken on. And, you know, I think it's interesting that as humans, we don't like the dark. We rage against the darkness. What would you say to a world that is doing that right now?
I would say it would be wise to stop, turn, and face it voluntarily, because as you know, the light's going off, we will probably have to turn and face it involuntarily. So it's best we go in now with a sense that this is absolutely on point and on time. Yeah. And to get into those existential fears, just to feel them, not to make a story, not to fix, not to solve, but to feel the scarcity, to feel the aloneness, fragility of life, the knowing that death and dying is coming, you know, whether we reach a nice ripe old age or it may come sooner. I think one of the most delicious imaginings I have is that once I have passed over, hopefully no one's going to be tampering with my body too much. I don't know why, but I've got this wonderful idea that I'm going to die here in the house and no one will find me. But I think of, you know, the rotting down process. And that, you know, I will become part of the earth. This morning, I actually picked up an adult badger. Freshly run, hit in the head, because I could see there was a little bit of car beside him. But no bleeding, just absolutely hit from one end of the road to the other. And I brought him back to the garden, back to a little bridge, which has now become Badger's Bridge.
Oh, sweet.
But, you know, every day we will walk past with goats, and every day that badger's body will be rotting down, and already it's smelling pretty strong. So that's what I mean, hoping, you know, that something like that could happen to me or Petey, rather than the clinical hospitalized, hospitalized way of disposing of a body.
Yeah, for sure. So you speak about, in some of the questions you sent me, you speak about the fact that we may falsely light up the world rather than plunging into darkness and forgetting the Kaliak we have created on a global scale, the same false positivity that we can fall into in our personal lives. Can you speak into that a little bit, the false positivity?
Well, for me, you know, being in the spiritual community, that would be spiritual bypassing. That would be the new age. That would be wishful thinking, fantasy thinking, imagining it's never going to happen to us in the West. That's how we were a few years ago. It's now caught up with us. It is happening to us in the West. This huge transformation will reach everybody, every home, every family, every person. I still look at social media and go, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe that people are still doing this little pointy thing. You know, 10 ways for a happy marriage. You know, 10 ideas how to be a man. I cannot believe this material is still in someone's headspace. I'm talking about that. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe I really am in my elderhood now, and all I'm doing is I'm looking back at the younger and, oh my god, hello. But it's that which I'm talking about, this false light, you know, like the street lights. You know, the cities will not go into darkness. They'd rather light the whole thing up that can be seen from, you know, deep outer space, rather than be in the dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do we do of a similar nature? Mm-hmm. You know, when I went to Ireland, mm-hmm. I went with Mum, obviously. And mm-hmm. there was one Airbnb mm-hmm. where we didn't have separate rooms. Mm-hmm. We had a double bed. And uh-huh. I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, it'd be lovely to sleep with you again. And I'm like, anyway, we got in. And she said, can you give me a little cuddle? And I went, oh, yeah, of course, because, you know, Dad was her cuddler.
Right.
And I said, okay. So, you know, I'm spooning her from behind. And I said, switch the light off then. And she went, oh, no, I don't sleep with the light off. Yeah, but, you know, her reason was she needs to see where the toilet is.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's probably a wise reason.
But, you know, I was really struggling mm-hmm. with falling to sleep with the light on. This was just like so no. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I love the dark, deep black. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's like inner questions. Where do I leave the light on? Mm-hmm. And how real is that light?
Yeah. Wow. Those are deep when you think about them. When you're thinking about all of us and as we, you know, moving into the era of the Empress, it isn't going to be the big flashy lights, 10 ways to become a better person. It's going to be something different.
Yes.
So how, if you were going to coach someone on moving into that place, what would you tell them?
I would begin by blowing their minds wide open by saying the two greatest forces in your life mm-hmm. are the light and the dark. Mm-hmm. When they come together in equal measure, that is when growth is on the horizon. And I would say that darkness and despair and all those uncomfortable feelings are actually great and focused allies. Mm-hmm. They will deliver.
Yeah.
And that they are working in harmony. The light and the dark are working in respectful harmony right now to produce or insist upon a new, more authentic you. Mm-hmm. And stop battling the darkness.
Yeah.
Stop rising up against it and delaying it and pushing it back and mm-hmm. trying to annihilate it yourselves, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. I think I'd probably sure. begin there.
Sure. How would a person lean in to the darkness? How would they invite it? I don't think we know how. I mean, we've spent so much time doing just the opposite.
I've noticed that if I try to conjure up the authentic darkness, mm-hmm. or like, you know, I'm ready to do some shadow work. Mm-hmm. Shadow will come, I've noticed in my opinion, but it's not really the version mm-hmm. you might be hoping for.
Right.
It's not your shadow, but mm-hmm. something's coming. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh my God, this is my shadow. Mm-hmm. But it might not be. It's so hard to word this. When it is an authentic time for the dark night of the soul, it's your time, you know, you're being called dark mm-hmm. night on the horizon. Mm-hmm. There is something about that process that is familiar, recognizable. You don't like it, but mm-hmm. you trust it. You know why it's here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is... when I say the darkness, that's what I'm referring to. The other thing I think I'm referring to, I think, is the old-fashioned word evil.
Yeah.
That'll come. Oh, no problem. but that, I feel, is a little bit endless. And right. there is no end to the bottom of that pit. Mm-hmm. So when you say, how do we bring the darkness? I don't think we do. Mm-hmm. It comes when it's your time.
Yeah.
We can do things like, you know, walk around in the dark, refuse to put lights on, mm-hmm. have a bath in the dark, mm-hmm. sit in a cave, go on a darkness retreat, you know, with a blindfold. Mm-hmm. But that's just sense deprivation. Yeah. That's, mm-hmm. you're getting somewhere, but actually, no, you're not. Yeah, there's nothing we can do, I believe, to mm-hmm. invoke it. Mm-hmm. It will come.
Yeah. So what would you, go ahead.
Did I was going to say, you know, it'll probably come a couple of times in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, a few good, thorough clean outs. Mm-hmm. People mm-hmm. say Dark Night of the Soul, it only happens once. It hasn't for me. No, I think three to four to five is yeah. more realistic.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I can remember a time in my life where I used to be deathly afraid of that. Mm. Not so much. You know, you got a Scorpio rising. Now I know what's coming, and I can't say that I look forward to it, but I can welcome it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So your free gift is the wisdom of the well in the other world.
Yes. So the other world in Celtic mythology is where we find the Carliac. Gotcha. So it's this little parallel world, very, very close mm-hmm. to the human one, but completely out of sight. We cannot sense. Well, we can sense it, actually, but not mm-hmm. when we're operating in our normal mode. Mm-hmm. This is quite a potent transmission.
Yeah.
Where you get to drink from the well, which is the source of all waters mm-hmm. on this earth. But first, there's a little bit of a grail test.
Yeah.
It's very, very traditional in the Celtic sense, mm-hmm. meaning a nice little pinch of light and a nice little pinch of dark. There will be times where it's a little bit frightening mm-hmm. because we're invoking that Carliac again. There has to be a death. There has to be a mm-hmm. for the renewal to come. And when that renewal comes, it will be rich, it will be strong, and it will be yours.
Yeah.
And she will not be so fearsome anymore. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, you know, it's not like a deity is going to like go, well, you know, come in from behind. Oh, wow, the Carliac. Mm-hmm. She's already in us.
Yep.
So that, you know, that terrifying psychic feminine force. Mm-hmm. Whoa. It's part of our makeup, men yeah. and women.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What would you say to our listeners if you wanted to give them, you know, an admonishment? What would you say to them around this topic?
I'm going to have to be really honest here and say, what does that word mean? Admonishment mean?
If you would encourage them in some way.
Around this top of the Empress or the Carliac? Mm-hmm. Which one or both?
Or both. I mean, the Carliac first, and then maybe the Empress. I think at this point, I think they could be one and the same.
Yes, most definitely. Mm-hmm. I would say to find your modality of accessing the mythical. I call it the mythical imagination, the other world. Mm-hmm. I have noticed, again, since Ireland, mm-hmm. that it feels really important to me to learn Irish.
Right.
The old language. Mm-hmm. Whenever I hear it, I'm like, hmm. And I've got a silly little app, which I'm learning. But when I say the words, my cells go and point to something. I feel something. I would look within and sense your history and ask yourself, what bloodline am I in? Mm-hmm. Is there some Spanish? Is there some Portuguese? Is there some Irish? Mm-hmm. Is there some African dialect? And if you don't know that language, start learning that language and maybe go as far back as possible. Like, you know, I might turn to Celtic language, Viking language. I'm into the myths. I mean, mm-hmm. my big myth at the moment is the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, apparently all us humans, we all talk the one and the same language. And not only that, we understood one another clearly and profoundly. There was never misunderstanding because the words were so on point to what we wanted to say that we immediately could be heard and a vision would appear in the other person's head and communication was sweet. Mm-hmm. But something, there's that question again, who, what, where, and when, something decided that wasn't going to be anymore. Mm-hmm. And so many, many languages were dropped into the people. And not only that, they were then scattered across the earth. What if we could remember that one language? And maybe what it is crystal clear, conscious use of words.
Yeah.
You know, in Irish, in English, you would say, thank you. Mm-hmm. In Irish, I can't remember the word now, but the translation of it, of thank you, is may a million thanks be upon you.
Wow.
Same understanding,
mm-hmm.
universe of difference.
Right.
And I want to learn the one that says, may a million thanks be upon you.
Exactly.
Beautiful. You see what I mean? That,
yes.
That means so much to the fellow human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this feels like, and you know, it's kind of piggybacking on all the other people that I've interviewed. It's like a deepening of our humanity, mm-hmm. a going within and going back to the roots so that we're not up here in the superficial anymore. We're deep inside of us.
Yes.
And that's just yummy to me. Yummy.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of this has awakened for you just since you've been on the land that you're on. It was already there, but it's really rooted now.
Yes. Where I live, Kathy, my intensity is the number of people who come through the house. That's my edge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an only child and I have never lived with people apart from partners
mm-hmm.
every now and again. Mm-hmm. Never had a housemate.
Right.
Never lived with a bunch of people because I don't want to.
I don't blame you. I'm right there with you.
So, you know, my edge right now is that there are, you know, over the course of the year, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people coming in and out of the house, mm-hmm. which keeps me really on the edge
mm-hmm.
of intensity.
Right.
It's like I'm on the edge of my flipping identity. You know, I say to myself, how much more can I take?
Right.
And then from that dark place, because it's dark, mm-hmm. I cry out in prayer mm-hmm. for humongous assistance and softening. Please give me the courage in my heart to withstand this amount of people around me at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, says the light. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm able to do it again. So you see what I mean?
Yes.
I'm in that frictionless place.
Yeah, for sure. Sister, I am so glad you came to speak with us and share this wisdom with us. Like I said, I watch you from afar. I keep tabs on you all the time. I'm living vicariously through you as I've watched what you're growing, and it is amazing. And we thank you so much for bringing this wisdom to us, because not all of us are willing to go to that dark place. And it's like you have gone and come back, and you're still alive and present and here to tell about it. And we are so grateful for that, and grateful for the wisdom that you bring back with you when you go. If people want to get a hold of you, I'm sure they can find you through your website and through the both websites. We'll put them both on your page this time. Is there anything you would like to leave with our people? Any closing words that you'd like to say?
Well, it's, if you look here.
I see that. What is that?
It's called a missing tooth. As I was having this moment with the Kaliak in Ireland, I was like,
Oh my goodness.
Flipping. The thing is, I've been to the dentist, it's all been cleaned out, but there's a part of me now that is not rushing to get it filled.
I hear you.
It's like, no, I quite like this. It just shatters the whole priestess goddess thing,
right?
But I got to think about when it happened. This is, of course, the Kaliak has lots and lots of missing teeth. So I don't know if I'm gonna, get a little implant or something. Right. It's like, I kind of like it,
right?
It's like the Kaliak was here.
Right, for sure. Well, and I just think of her deep wisdom, and I just go, she's not scary. And she's actually empowered you in so many ways.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just your mark. Maybe she
It might be.
I love it. That's amazing. Thank you so much for being with us, for sharing your wisdom from the edge of the world and bringing it back for all of us. We love what you're doing for the planet, and we love the seeds you're planting. So just keep planting.
Thank you, Kathy. Likewise, my friend. Thank you for these amazing summits, gathering us together. Oh, such food for the soul. Thank you.
All right, my dear. I don't know what I've done down here. I'm going to cancel that and do this instead.